So I'm going to be presenting today on behalf of my colleagues at IPASS, both in Chapel Hill and in DePaul. And first of all, I have no relationships to disclose. So just to give you a little bit of background on abortion in Nepal, prior to 2002, abortion was illegal under any circumstance, and abortion was considered homicide. Women were actually incarcerated often for if they were convicted of having an abortion. And that goes for providers as well. And so in 2002, Nepal actually instituted a relatively liberal abortion law where abortion became legal up to 12 weeks gestation for any indication and up to 18 weeks gestation for rape or incest, and at any time if the physical or mental health of the woman or the fetus was at risk. So the reason the law changed in 2002 was because of the high toll of unsafe abortion. In 1996, there were 539 deaths per 100,000 live births in Nepal, and it was estimated that 54% of maternal deaths were due to unsafe abortion. It was also found that up to 61% of patients presenting to obstetricians were coming in with abortion-related complications. So Nepal has made strides to implement the law change. In 2003, they started the Safe Abortion Service Procedure Guidelines, where they instituted a system for certifying facilities to provide comprehensive abortion care. And between 2004 and 2009, 245 government, NGO, and private CAC facilities were certified. And all of Nepal's 75 districts have at least one CAC facility, and over 300,000 safe abortions were performed in Nepal between 2004 and 2007 in these listed facilities. So despite these improvements, a study in 2006 found that only 43% of women were aware of safe abortion services through CAC sites. And only 20% of married women and 28% of married men were aware of the new abortion legislation. And of these people who were aware, less than 10% were able to identify one of the conditions for legal abortion. And so basically the study concluded that there was a need to increase knowledge through population-based communication strategies. So the purpose of this study was to better understand the pathways through which women access safe first trimester abortion services and to identify opportunities for community education and mobilization activities. So this study was a quantitative descriptive study of a purposive cross-sectional sample of induced abortion clients presenting for comprehensive abortion care at selected facilities during the study period, which was April 2010 to May 2010. And we basically did client exit interviews with women who were age 16 years and older who presented for induced abortion services less than 12 weeks gestation. So we selected three facilities using these criteria, and basically we wanted to have representation from both private and public facilities, and we also had one urban, one rural, and one semi-urban. And we also wanted to get a wide range of monthly caseloads in these facilities. So we can see that we ended up with 231 patients with whom we conducted these exit interviews. So these were interviewer-administered surveys, and the interviewers were posted on-site during the hours when CAC services were available. And so women who presented at the study seeking CAC services were recruited and administered a first interview at this time before their procedure. And then we also, for women who declined to participate, we collected sociodemographic information on them for comparison purposes. And so we then asked consenting participants to return to the facility for a follow-up visit 3 to 5 weeks after their procedure. The questionnaire included closed-ended questions, and they included background characteristics, and we really wanted to get at their media use and health-seeking behaviors and sort of how they gather information on abortion services and how they came to present to this facility. So a total of 289 women were approached for inclusion at the initial visit, and 231, so 80%, agreed to participate and were included in the follow-up. And analysis of the sociodemographic characteristics showed no difference between participants and non-participants. So the average characteristic, or the average participant, was about 28 years, ranging from, this is actually 16 to 45. 97% were currently married, and we had a wide range of education, from 20% unable to read or write, and 18% with a school leaving certificate, which is basically high school graduation. So prior to this abortion, 60 women, so 26%, reported a previous induced abortion. And at the time of conception for this pregnancy, 46% reported that they used using modern contraceptive method. 13% reported using traditional methods, and 41% reported that they were not using method. And so you can see in figure one that the most common modern methods that were being used at the time of conception were condoms and pills. So we also asked questions about abortion decision making, and the most common reasons for ending the pregnancy were 71% said that they had enough children, 58% said that they couldn't afford another child, 51% said that the husband or partner did not want this child, and 40% was due to contraceptive failure. And we found that 90% of women reported themselves as the primary decision maker in having this abortion, and 91% of women reported that their husbands were involved in the decision-making process. So just looking at the CAC procedure characteristics, the average gestational age was 6.7 weeks, so relatively early for this population. 75% had manual vacuum aspiration, and 26% had medical abortion. And 68% accepted a contraceptive method after their procedure, and 62% chose a short-term method, and only 6% chose long-term. So this is a breakdown of contraceptive method acceptance, and you can see that of those short-term methods, the vast majority chose DEPO, 30%, 17% chose condoms, and 15% chose pills. And you know, long-term methods such as the implant and IUCD were very low, and 32% chose no method. So we also were interested in looking at female community health volunteers and their role in linking women with care. And female community health volunteers in Nepal, for those of you who aren't familiar with them, are women who are from the community. They're selected usually by their community, and they're trained to provide health information to women and to help link them with government health services. So in our sample, only 17% of women reported talking to an FCHV before going to the facility for their abortion. And the most common topic that they discussed with the FCHV was where to go for abortion care. All of the women who had spoken with an FCHV recommended that other women in their community talk with one, so that indicated that hopefully they had a good experience. And women who could not read or write and had received only minimal education were more likely to have discussed reproductive health issues with an FCHB, as were women who received abortion services at one of the two public facilities. So we then looked at the differences between women who spoke with an FCHB and those who did not. And so we can see that gestational age was about the same. There's no significant difference. But we do see significant differences in education, where 39% who spoke with an FCHV could not read or write, compared to only 17% of those who didn't. Similarly, we see lower exposure to media among those who spoke with an FCHV, 68% compared to 83% among those who did not speak to an FCHV. And we also see that the majority, that 66% of those who spoke with an FCHV went to a public facility. So this is indicating that probably women who are getting this information from an FCHV at the village level are less educated, have lower exposure to media, and are more likely to seek services at a public facility. So then we looked at the abortion-related information that women received and that they really wanted to receive. And so usually the only piece of information that they received was on where to get a safe abortion. But when we asked them what information they really wanted to receive, 74% reported that they wanted more information on abortion methods that were available. And then 53% also said wanted to know who could provide safe and legal abortion services. And so the most common sources of abortion-related information were a healthcare provider, friend or neighbor, the radio. And then when we asked where they wanted to receive that information, there's a similar list, but some differences, that they would rather receive it through the media, such as radio and television. And so if we look at a comparison of the sources where women actually receive their information, which is in the darker bars, and where they would like to receive information, which is in the lighter bars, we can see a discrepancy. Only 46% received information from a healthcare provider, but 75% reported that they would like to receive information from a healthcare provider. We also see a similar pattern with radio and television. And also with the FCHBs, we can see that fewer than 20% received information, but 51% said that they would have liked to have information from an FCHB. So our conclusions, MVA was the most commonly used method in the study. Over two-thirds of women received a modern contraceptive method after their abortion. Found that women were the main decision makers for whether they receive abortion and where they procure it. But we found that the partners were also very involved, and about half of women reported that their partner didn't, that the reason that they had the abortion was because their partner did not want the child. We also found differences in the sources where women wanted to receive information and where they actually received information. Over three times as many women indicated that they wanted to receive abortion-related information through television than currently do, and over twice as many wanted to receive it through FCHBs than currently do. We found that fewer than one in five spoke with an FCHB before seeking an abortion, but over half reported that they would like to be able to receive abortion-related information from an FCHB, which indicates that FCHBs are possibly an underutilized resource. So from the study, the recommendations were that abortion-related information, such as abortion methods and locations for the CAC-listed providers, should be provided through women's preferred sources, such as television, more on the radio, FCHBs, and through healthcare providers. Also, we just felt that more information should be collected on why FCHBs were not utilized among the women who reported wanting this information from an FCHB. Was it that the FCHB was not working in that particular community, or were they not working very effectively, or had they not completed their training, or what exactly was going on there? Because we do feel like that could be a great resource for women at the village level, especially women who are less educated. And so because over half of women had been using a contraceptive method at the time of the aborted pregnancy, future program activities should also focus on increasing education on contraceptive methods and on ways to prevent contraceptive failure. So thank you. And as Ruth said, if you guys have any burning questions, we could take those or just wait until the end. Thanks.